We're joined in studio. I want to get right into it because we are squeezed for time. We have a very jam-packed show. We're joined by Mark Levine, who is counsel to the Gertrude Stein Democratic Club. They are supportive of gay rights, and more specifically in the context of our discussion, same-sex marriage, which has been speculated to be voted on by the D.C. City Council before Christmas. It is really heating up here in Washington, D.C., and it's a little bit of deja vu for me because I, being from Massachusetts, we've already been through this once before, although ours was ours came to an end via a very swift and clean court decision by the Supreme Judicial Court of Massachusetts and not our legislature. So it is a little different to that extent. Mark, good afternoon. Thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate having you.
Thank you for inviting me.
I really want to get into it because we will be joined after your segment by Cleta Mitchell, who is attorney for the so-called pro-marriage advocacy group, Stand for Marriage DC, which has really been at the forefront of the opposition here in Washington. Now, Mark, only 6 out of 50 states, Massachusetts, Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, Iowa, Connecticut, 12% of the total country have moved to legalize same-sex marriage. This is far from a consensus. Why should the District of Columbia be willing to follow in suit?
By the way, I think you'll find New York State will happen before the end of the year. And of course, in California, there are still tens of thousands of same-sex marriages that are allowed. So those are two pretty populous states. But the basic message is equality under the law. If you believe that no American citizen should be treated as a second-class citizen, then that's the end of the argument. And there are people who believe in bigotry for religious or other reasons. They want people to be second-class citizens. That's the side that Cleta Mitchell represents. My side simply represents equality under the law for all.
Now, opponents of same-sex marriage, Mark, have called for a ballot initiative to decide the issue and have labeled the council's actions thus far as tyrannical and anti-democratic, to name a few. Your response?
Well, I don't know why they're so opposed to representative democracy. That's how it works in most of the states in the United States. There are some 26 states in the United States that have no direct democracy, no initiative rulings at all, in fact. And of the 24 states that do allow some form of citizen initiative, the majority of those have limitations on it. The District of Columbia says under the Human Rights Act that you can't vote on people's civil rights. And I think if you look back to Alabama in 1964, you can see why it's a really good law. If you allow people to vote on people's civil rights, at least as of 1964, at that time, you would have found the majority of people in Alabama would have said that blacks can't have any civil rights.
Sure.
But we don't allow votes on civil rights. We shouldn't. I don't think we should allow it in the United States Constitution. And we certainly don't allow it in the District of Columbia under the Human Rights Act. It's a very far-reaching act. It says that basically you can't discriminate on the basis of anything other than merit. And I'm very proud of the district for having that law.
Some of the more prevalent arguments that I remember from back home, and I'm sure these are still being pushed against the concept of same-sex marriage, were that A, states have a compelling interest to foster procreation, and B, that a heterosexual marriage, one man and one woman, is the most conducive to healthy child rearing. Aren't these reasonable arguments? And the reason I ask this question is the opposition would not obviously be willing to refer to themselves as bigots, but more of traditionalists, and this is just the way it's always been done.
That's true. And you got to remember the people who defended slavery also said we are traditionalists. The people who defended segregation said we are traditionalists. In fact, they often use the Bible to say God put white people in Europe and they put black people in Africa and they put Oriental people in Asia. And therefore, God meant the races to stay separate. If you note any of these traditions, slavery, women being second class citizens, segregation, all of these things have been traditions for thousands of years. Slavery has existed for thousands of years. So anytime you have that argument, it's basically it's always been this way. Therefore, it's right. And I don't believe that is a good argument to say it's always been this way. It's right. If you believe it's always been this way, then it's right. Then you believe in second class citizenship for women. You believe in slavery. You believe in the other great traditions of Western society.
What about the argument specifically? You have the procreative prong of the argument, and then you have the what is the most conducive, the notion that a child, and I'm not saying this, but this is what has been floated, is the notion that a child needs a mother and a father.
I have never met a single person, and we'll see, it should be understood, Cleta Mitchell and I are mostly making legal arguments, and they have no legal ground to stand on because D.C. bans votes on civil rights. But in terms of the actual whether there should be same-sex equality, whether there should be marriage equality, I have never seen a single advocate for saying that gay people can't marry who believes that people who are infertile should be forcibly divorced, or that after you've had kids and you're age 60, you should be forcibly divorced, or that, it seems to me that the people who are against gay couples marrying, they want it both ways. They want to say that a man and a woman can get married even if they're in their 60s and their 70s and they're past procreation. Procreation is both too narrow and too large. Gay couples are raising families all across the country, hundreds of thousands of kids. There are plenty of straight couples that aren't raising children. So unless you want to say that we're going to forcibly divorce any couple that doesn't raise children, it's really a very silly argument.
6 minutes past 12 o'clock as we continue here on News in Depth. We're here with Mark Levine, who is legal counsel with the Gertrude Stein Democratic Club. He's a proponent of same-sex marriage, and we are with him to talk about the issue because this really is coming to a head as we approach the Christmas season, which, again, many have speculated a vote will take place before that time.
I have to say, I'm very sorry that Cleta Mitchell was unwilling to appear at the same time and to address these arguments in an open and honest debate. I think that's very typical of their side. What she wants to do is she wants to hear all my arguments out, come out and rebuttal, and then she doesn't want to give me the word because she knows that I'm going to dismantle every argument she makes. So I give a challenge both to Harry Jackson, to Cleta Mitchell, to anyone who is opposed to equality under the law. Let's debate one-on-one. Don't just sort of do a hit-and-run guerrilla strategy. And I invite Cleta Mitchell to call in right now and address my arguments right now rather than listen in and come in later.
Well, we'll see if that happens. What I do want to ask you is, and I know you've gotten up, you've been in the position to, again, make a legal argument and have it opposed or vice versa. Has there been a scenario so far where you have faced off with the opposition in more of a debate format?
No, they will not do that. I testified before the D.C. Board of Elections and Ethics on Monday.
That's right.
At the time, I offered to go into any of the people. Most of the people who are opposed do so for religious reasons, for theological reasons. They believe that their religion should trump the people who don't practice their religion. They believe in really a theocracy, that there should be no First Amendment, no separation of church and state, that their particular religious conception of God should be forced upon all of us. And they were making those arguments. And I said, look, I can go and argue theology as well. I happen to know the Bible pretty well. And I wanted to go in their churches. I said, you can invite me. We'll have a dialogue. We'll have a discussion. We'll have a debate. Any church that wants to invite me, any synagogue, mosque, I am ready to discuss this issue. And I haven't received any invitations as of yet. I think they understand that we have logic and law on our side. They have religion and emotion on their side. And that's why they don't want to have a logical, legal debate.
Now, Cleta Mitchell, again, who will be joining us shortly, she's a very prominent attorney here in Washington, D.C. She works for Foley and Lardner, which is an excellent firm. And again, she represents Stand for Marriage DC, which Bishop Harry Jackson is also affiliated with.
She's also former chairman of the Republican Women's Law Association. So she's part of the Republican Party.
Now, she's argued, as have others, this isn't just her, that the issue of same-sex marriage was essentially settled in the district case of Dean versus the District of Columbia back in 1995, upholding the denial of a marriage license to a local gay couple. The case has never been overruled. I mean, isn't that the dead end for you at this point?
The case has been overruled. It's been overruled by the D.C. Council. See, a lot of people don't understand.
But not by an appellate court.
It doesn't have to be. I'll give you an example at the federal level. The United States Supreme Court just recently ruled on a civil rights case regarding when women could sue for pay discrimination, and Lilly Ledbetter lost her case. And what did Congress do? Congress said, you interpreted our law wrong. They passed the Lilly Ledbetter Act, and they legislatively overturned the Supreme Court decision. The D.C. City Council has legislatively overturned Dean, and they're going to put the last nail in Dean's coffin in a couple months with full marriage equality. But basically, the Dean decision was based on the fact that there is nothing in the D.C. code, the marriage code, that requires marriage between a man and a woman. There never has been. And the code has existed ever since 1901. It dates back to a Maryland legislative decision of 1777. So Dean looked at, since it didn't have the text of the code saying that it's restricted to opposite sex couples, they looked at other language. They looked at, for example, the incest statute, which says at that time it said that a man can't marry his mother, but it didn't say a man couldn't marry his father. So they said, ah, well, this means that the D.C. City Council didn't intend to allow same-sex couples to marry. And there are a bunch of other things they looked at. They looked at other states. There were no other states at the time that allowed gay couples to marry. They looked at Black's Law Dictionary, sure, which at that time defined marriage, the man and the woman. The heart of it is every single one of the pillars of Dean no longer exists. The statutes are gender neutral. The D.C. City Council has their public policy to recognize all marriages, regardless of gender or sexual orientation. Dean has been legislatively overruled.
You know, one of the things that I want to ask you is, obviously, this is occurring at this point in time in history for the District of Columbia, has already taken place for six states. But there have been other states, a number of them, who have taken it upon themselves to pass constitutional amendments to their state constitutions banning any prospect of same-sex marriage. The most prominent among those was in California. And with the exception of Iowa, which I think is very mind-boggling is still mind-boggling to some that took place, really outside of the North, this is a Northeast practice. Are you a little pessimistic that this is not going to catch on beyond what we have already seen? And I know you mentioned New York State, but is this confined to geographically, culturally, politically, the Northeast portion of the United States?
It's growing by leaps and bounds. Obviously, it's going to start in the bluest of the blue states. It's going to start in the most liberal areas. It's going to start in places like Vermont and Massachusetts. I think it's going to hit New York State, like I said, by the end of the year. You heard it here first. And it's going to go. Maryland, I think, is very much around the corner. New Jersey, Pennsylvania. Sure, it's going to start in the blue states. I don't expect Mississippi to be one of the first states. I expect it to be one of the last states. But if you look at polls, it's fascinating. You see that just based on the age of people, the great majority of opposition to marriage equality comes from people over 60. Most people under 30, overwhelmingly, some two-thirds of the generation of students at George Washington University, sometimes three-quarters, depending where you are, firmly support marriage equality for all. It's just a matter of time. Like the civil rights movement, people forget that the first state to say that anti-miscegenation laws that ban blacks and whites
interracial
from marriage,
right,
interracial marriages. California had a law banning interracial marriages, and in 1948, their Supreme Court struck it down, and it took 19 years before it went across the entire country. I think that makes about right. Massachusetts was 2004, and 19 years, and 2023, it'll be in all 50 states.
Okay, Mark, we have just a couple of minutes left. I want to ask you sort of a longer term question. What do you see on the horizon? Do you anticipate a protracted series of court battles to commence if the council ends up passing this legislation before Christmas, as many have speculated? And I know you're a lawyer by trade. Is this going to be where things get settled?
Yes. I'll be testifying, by the way, before the D.C. City Council tomorrow.
All right.
On some ways to make the bill better. Yes, the D.C. City Council, I expect, will pass the law. It'll be signed by the mayor by Christmas. Congress then has a review period. I do not expect Congress to intervene, at which point I am certain that Cleta Mitchell will take me to court and will take the entire D.C. City Council to court. And I'm just as equally convinced that she will lose.
This is very speculative. Any prospect of the United States Supreme Court taking this up in the future?
I don't see that. Whenever you have a court case, it can be based on what would be state law or federal law. And the district is a little bit confusing because it's not a state. But basically, this is all decided under D.C. law and the D.C. Human Rights Act. The one law that is a federal law that could take it to the United States Supreme Court, if it were appropriate law, would be the Defense of Marriage Act. But the Defense,
sure,
of Marriage Act in no way restricts the right of D.C. or the right of any state to allow same-sex couples to marry. As you pointed out, there's some six states that do it.
Right.
DOMA merely says the state isn't required to allow couples to marry. And it also has some restrictions on the federal government, but it has no restrictions on D.C. government.
That's going to have to be the final word. And before you go, I just want to say that you host a radio program called Inside Scoop from Washington, all the news the government does not want you to know. Mark Levine, legal counsel to the Gertrude Stein Democratic Club and host of this particular program. And again, you have a website, radioinsidescoop.com. Pleasure to have you with us. It's been a really great discussion. We hope to talk to you at some point in the future. I know things are going to really heat up going forward.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a matter of minutes with Cleta Mitchell from Foley and Lardner to give you the opposing side. Much more as News in Depth continues from Washington. Back in a moment.